Well, right now, because of the NFI status, that Nick counts as the 54th player. So we did re-sign when we waived Jacoby. We brought back Robinson at tight end for that spot. But technically, we are at 54 until we take him off the whatever that exempt status is. Well, we had a good day yesterday. Worked some different rotations. We'll settle on something and roll with it this weekend. Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of three things. One, the offensive line is playing well. They're big. They're difficult to get on the edges. The other thing too to me is the system. I mean, I think they understand they want to get the ball out quick. A lot of their throws are either one step, three step, or they're part of a run where if the run's not there, they're gonna throw it out. So it's more like a screen. So they throw a lot of those, and then the third part of it's the quarterback. I think he's got a very good feel for it. He moves well in the pocket, and he knows how to get out of trouble. To me, it's just what we've been building all along. Build it around the offensive line, the running backs, the ability to run the football, stay ahead of the down and distance situations. Take our opportunities down the field when they present themselves, and then defensively continue to be opportunistic. We know we have some ways to go in our run defense, but as far as affecting quarterbacks I think we're improving on the back end, and we need to catch up on the front end. Yeah, will there be a drop off losing Alex? Absolutely, we've already talked about that, but we can't just abandon what we are schematically. That our guys have to step up and make up for it. So it's still something that we believe in the guys that we have, and we just have to go out and play better. They've been running it this year, so it's certainly something that he's run over the years, and it's certain they have it in their arsenal. So it's we'll work it in practice as part of a normal routine. If a team has it in their history, or they've certainly shown it put it on tape, they've had it. But to me, I think it's also smart to have it up, elements of it, just to force teams to prepare for it, to kind of waste that coach's time in meetings, players' time in walkthroughs, and so that way you can come out in a game, you can not run it all, you can run it one play, you can, if it appears they haven't prepared for it, you can run it 10 times. So that's something that, just from our checklist defensively every week, if there's a history of it, we'll make sure that we rep it. Yeah, he had a good day, so I'm not ready to commit and say, hey, he's full go. But I thought yesterday was a step forward for him. Yeah, K1 came through yesterday fine as well. No, I don't think it's a concern. I mean, well, if it continues, then it's something that you would look to address. But I know those guys get on the jugs machine a lot. They get a lot of balls thrown to them. It's a repetition thing. Sometimes it's a function of where the ball's placed. When the pocket's clean and step up and make a good accurate throw, it's a lot easier to catch it. And you know, we've been pressured and we're forced to throw some balls behind guys. Yeah, potentially. And that group is playing, I think, at a high level. And we are pleased with where Justin is. But we just got to make sure that we keep progressing forward. We can't afford for him to take a step back or anybody else in that room for that matter. But that was a group that we felt going in was going to be a strength, and I mean there's a lot that goes into playing in the secondary the way that we play it. We do some things differently, and sometimes it takes some time to get going with it. And I think our guys have done a really good job of learning it and applying it. Yeah, that is amazing. And to hear some of our guys talk that how old they were when he started to play, or they had posters of him growing up, and it's amazing that he's been able to play at such a, you know, he's not just one of those guys that you can tell is just hanging on. I mean, he's still playing at a high level. There was one game when we played the Dolphins. I want to say it was 2009, if that was the year that it kind of broke out, that we went against it twice because I was with the Jets. One game we didn't defend it very well. I think it was a Monday night game down there. And then when we played them at our place, later that year, we got after it pretty good, and then ever since then, there hasn't been a lot of issues with it. It did kind of just drop off over time. I think the the zone read and the mobile quarterback stuff, I think, has replaced it, even though there's still some teams that'll run elements of it. Well, I see Wildcat more of you're going to keep your quarterback on the field, but split them out. Some teams will substitute, but that's an obvious giveaway that you're getting ready to run it. But it's more of a single wing mentality where you're forcing a team to account for one extra player. Your quarterback doesn't have to hand it off. You're direct snapping it to the guy that's going to carry the ball. So you can run. It's easy to do because your offensive line's still blocking their base runs. You can run any scheme run-wise, but you're direct snapping it. But since you've split the quarterback out, you still have to account for him. So you're getting to run essentially two back runs versus one back spacing on defense. That's the Wildcat. And then the zone read is more where you're to a regular mobile quarterback. And it's, again, the principle's the same in that it's like they have an extra player. That it's a normal running play, but now there's the option to pull it, and you're reading a guy, usually the end man on the line of scrimmage, and you're slowing that guy down. So if he closes hard, you can pull it and hit a big run, and if he holds, then you can give it, and now you're running the ball in a lighter spacing. I think so, because so many college teams are running it, and you just have that trickle-up effect, that the prototype NFL quarterback, you just don't have as many of those. You look at how many teams are running that style of offense. So I think I could see it lasting longer or being more, more to here to stay than the Wildcat was. He did on the one for sure. No, they had shown it, but the one for sure on that was a good call by them. We were in a pass call. We were playing two man on third and long and didn't have anybody on the edge, and he pulled it and ran for a first down. Player technique. I mean, you don't want to overdo it and try to scheme something up, because there's so many different ways that you can run it. But since the threat of pass is essentially gone, I mean, I know some guys can still throw it, or they can flea flicker it back to the quarterback, and I know there's plays like that. But essentially, we tell her it's like that drill in practice, inside run, where essentially the threat of pass is gone, and it's, hey, I got to beat the guy across from me and look to make a play. So to me, it's more of a mentality than a scheme. Well, I think that phrase, I think, encompasses a lot of things. I think every position group, from the outside backers to the ends, to the tackles, to the inside, every position has their own inventory of techniques, and when those aren't being executed properly and they change based on what the call is, that's a very general way of saying it, but I think that can still encompass several things. No, he's a young guy that we like, that we think has a bright future in this league. And when we get down to what you would consider that, this week the 54th, but the 52nd, 53rd spot, and as long as you have your bases covered, it's efficient, ample depth at every position, then you just look to carry the best player. Somehow, that's life in the NFL. That if the guy behind the starter was better, he'd be the starter. So there's naturally going to be a drop off, but you hope with practice reps and game reps that they improve and can be effective in what they do. Yeah, that's tough, but I see the issues, that it's not like baseball where it's a second baseman for a second baseman or whatever. It's the positions are, it's not as scheme specific. Trades in the offseason make a lot more sense, because now you have a good chunk of time to get that player schooled up. But they are difficult in season. I think you get around this time of the year where teams kind of have a feel for their roster and who's playing for them, and then they look at, okay, these are the guys that aren't, and then potentially looking at this is what they're making and seeing if they can move on from some guys that way. So I think that's why you don't see a lot, because I think it's buyer beware. This guy's on the trading block. Well, there has to be a reason why to give up on a player in season, one that can potentially contribute, is pretty significant. He is playing well overall. He grades out high every week. He and Witt, I think, are very complementary to each other. They do a good job communicating and making sure the corners and the structure in front of them is right. There have not been a lot of mental mistakes by that duo, and that's hard sometimes to handle schematically. There is a lot of communication based on the plan that week. So he's done a real good job, and we knew. We had Bobby Babich here who kind of gave us the rundown all of it and on all the guys, and we watched the tape. I mean, it's clear that he has that center fielder type ability. He's got tremendous ball skills. He's already demonstrated that. So he's a guy that we've obviously been very pleased with. Yeah, and that is impressive. And I think sometimes that ends up being the trend. We look for those guys in the process as well. Like if a clear-cut safety isn't there, let's maybe take a chance on a guy that is a rangier corner, maybe taller, not quite elite corner speed, but has some ball skills and the football IQ to handle it. You see some of those guys end up getting converted over time to safety.